past 12 to 18 months have certainly been one of the most unusual and volatile times in the history of equity markets. However, this has also created certainly unusual and great opportunities. We believe a period like this is healthy for the equity markets. Often what happens is that either the perception or the reality of shares changes, in that good shares often are seen as being quite poor quality shares, either by perception or actual exposure. Very interestingly enough, liquid shares, so good quality shares, often fall more than poor quality shares. This is because if you are an emerging market portfolio manager and you're facing big cash calls, you actually have to sell the quality shares in your portfolio. You can't sell the poor quality shares. And as a result, if you position correctly, you can actually access very good lines of good quality businesses at very low valuations. And indeed, perceptions of risk have changed. 18 months ago, what people viewed as a best investment was trying to search for yield. People were looking for yield no matter what the risk that they were taking on. Towards the end of last year, everyone's view of risk was that they would lose their capital, and hence they ignored the yield and went to the protection of US treasuries at a point when they were earning no yield whatsoever. And as this year has carried on, we've seen how people's perceptions of risk have changed again, and now they're realizing that they're getting 0% on their cash holdings. They need to move back into riskier asset classes like equities. But very importantly for us as stock pickers is that poor businesses are often exposed in a downturn. We have a saying at Coronation that in a hurricane, even turkeys can fly. And we've had a hurricane of GDP growth of 4 to 5% for the last 3-4 years, which have meant that poor businesses have been as successful, if not more successful, than some of the better quality businesses. This is because when there's a lack of capacity in industry, smaller businesses, businesses run on bad models, businesses run with poor customer service or badly structured balance sheets, still get to thrive. What happens in a downturn is that your quality businesses, those that people want to work with, those that have strong balance sheets and good cash flows, are the ones that can actually ride out the downturn. And as a result, strong businesses are getting stronger in this process. They can either acquire some of their smaller competitors at cheap prices or just take market share because their competitors are unable to compete. So in the context of this environment, I'd like to just take you through what we consider to be a good business, arguably what's a bad or a poor quality business, and a business where certainly the outlook is quite poor or ugly, yet it still makes a compelling investment decision. We consider a good business to be one with defensive earnings. That is, one, defensive means earnings that aren't affected by an economic cycle. So regardless of whether you're in boom or bust, the earnings continue to come through strongly. Another key point is strong cash generation. We at the moment, banks have stopped lending, and it's very important that your business is able to actually grow and continue to grow by using its own internal cash resources and not relying on bank resources. High earnings visibility, also very important for the ability for us to forecast earnings going forward. Those companies where you are far better able to forecast where their earnings will go to are, we consider, a higher quality business. Fourth point is wide margins. This is very important, again, particularly in a downturn. If you sustainably run a business with a 30 to 40% margins, it means that in the event you have a 10% hit to your top line, you are still profitable. If you are running a business on very narrow margins, 5 to 10%, and take a 10% hit to your top line, you can quite quickly go into making losses. So wide margins, again, are a very good business model. And then finally, strong balance sheet. The ability for a company now to go out and make acquisitions, or as the previous point, not to rely on bank debt, is very key. An example of this, and a company that we've built up a very large position in, is MTN. MTN has got very defensive earnings. People don't phone less or talk less in a recession. Over and above that, MTN has in excess of 100 million customers. If one of them tomorrow should decide to move to Vodacom, it is not going to have significant impact, so they have very little reliance on any one individual customer. This means their earnings through a cycle are much more defensive, much more annuity-like. Also very importantly is that they are very geographically diversified. No one region makes up more than 30% of their earnings, and this is important because telcos, cell phone operators, are regulated industries, and their biggest risk is regulatory, that one day the regulator changes industry regulations, which impacts profitability. So the fact that they are geographically or diversified by country means that the risk of all regulators impacting their profit at the same time is much lower. What's also very important, or very key strength of MTN, is the fact that they have got a very strong balance sheet. In order to continue to grow market share, it's very important for a cell phone operator to be spending capex, rolling out base stations, rolling out network capacity. Because as you grow your members, as you grow your subscribers, you need to be able to make sure that you can meet the call quality, that you can make sure the call is connected. It's quite easy to grow the number of users, but if you can't make the calls, they will switch to another network. And at the end of the day, it all comes back to valuation and what value are you getting this defensive earning stream at. And certainly at the beginning of the year, given the crisis, we could pick up large lines of MTN, particularly being sold by foreigners, at less than 8x forward. MTN currently trading on less than a 10x forward multiple, we think is exceptionally attractive. So if that's what we consider to be a good business, what would we consider to be bad? That's pretty much just the opposite of what we consider a good business. So cyclical earnings, earnings which are very much tied into the economic cycle. Poor visibility. What that means is businesses where it's quite difficult looking out 3 to 5 years, and remember, we are long-term investors, and that 3 to 5 year period is very important for us. So if businesses where when you look out 3 to 5 years, you actually have a high degree of risk to your earnings forecasts. Low margins, I made the point about this before, low margins, you can quite easily become loss-making. And then just poor cash flows. A big emphasis that's come out of the credit crisis has been on balance sheets and cash flows. Businesses that are reliant on bank debt, businesses that are reliant on tapping capital markets, have been suffering as a result of the credit squeeze. And those businesses which do not generate good cash flows are tending to be discount businesses. And our example of an industry that we would consider to be a poor or lower quality earning stream is the construction sector. Up until recently, the construction sector has been the darling of the stock markets for a couple of key reasons. The main one being that we had a huge backlog of infrastructure investment in South Africa. As a result, the construction sector has been in a sweet spot where they've had very good short-term earnings visibility and very strong pricing power. Given the limited capacity in the construction sector, they've been able to price very attractively for a lot of the deals. However, this hasn't changed the nature of the construction industry. Construction is by nature a very cyclical industry and also a very low margin industry. However, given the strength of earnings growth over the past 2 or 3 years, people started considering it to be a growth industry and started putting premium ratings on the construction shares. We felt that the construction sectors had retained its cyclical nature, and as a result, we weren't prepared to put a premium rating onto the construction business. What's happened subsequently is that we've seen, with the downturn in the economy, you've seen declining revenue. Contracts that construction companies thought they had have been cancelled. And what we are starting to see now is that businesses are becoming more competitive. More people are tendering for what's out there, and as a result, margins are starting to come down. So on the construction side, while it doesn't necessarily mean it's a poor investment at all points in the cycle, we consider it to be low-quality earnings. It should be on a discount rating, and given the fact that the market hasn't put it there, we would consider that to be a poor investment. Finally, we do have opportunities to make good investments in very, very dire times in a certain industry. There's a specific industry at the beginning of the year where a company was facing very big pressure on its top line. It had a very stretched balance sheet. The outlook for its operating industry was very poor. And this was well known in the market. And as a result, it was the most shorted share in its sector. And it then had to do a very deeply discounted rights issue. And this share was Liberty International. It was facing big pressure in the UK because of very high rising vacancies in the UK property market. It had a whole stretch of maturities of debt coming up, with a large one in 2011, £600 million, which the market was very concerned about. But most importantly was that this was actually already in the market. So if you looked at the number of shares that were being shorted, in excess of 30% of its market capitalization had been lent out to hedge funds to be shorted. As a result, arguably all the bad news was already reflected in the share price, and all the market was waiting for was a slight bit of good news to start again considering what are the fundamentals of this business. In June this year, that little bit of good news came out with the first uptick in property prices in the UK, and suddenly people's assessment of the risk or the investment opportunity in Liberty International changed, and you saw a very sharp re-rating moving up 50 or 60%. And this again brings in our key point of being long-term investors. If you'd been focused on the short-term, you'd have only been considering the short-term news flow about vacancies rising, about tenants being unable to make their monthly payments. But one needs to consider what are the quality assets in this business, what is the long-term outlook, and is it in the price? And if it is, then it makes a great investment. And at Coronation, we certainly followed that large capital raising in Liberty International, built up a big position at a price which priced in all the bad news, and as a result have benefited in the uptick. To wrap up on our view on equities, Coronation, we believe the big opportunity at the moment in the equity market is global stocks. We think that international and global equities are far better valued than South African equity. While we do believe there is value in the SA equity market, we just think that the years and years of derating in international markets have exposed some phenomenal opportunities, and you can buy great quality international globally diversified businesses, in some cases on ratings lower than that of equivalent businesses in South Africa. With on the JSE, it's a unique situation in that there are a number of global businesses which just happen to be listed here by accidents of history. Stocks like British American Tobacco, Richemont, and the Liberty International that we mentioned before. So we tend to favour those, as well as a couple of South African businesses which have become true global players, the likes of an MTN or a Naspers. We are still very light or underweight in resources. While we did find some investment opportunities at the beginning of the year, we believe that the re-rating this year has once again seen too much optimism being priced into these companies around how the resource sector will play out. I also touched on construction and why we are still light in the construction sector. Finally, we continue to be light in a lot of the interest rate sensitives, particularly the clothing stocks. Clothing retailers in this country have not experienced a recession. If you look at a number of large retail chains in the US and UK, have gone bankrupt over the past 12 to 18 months. South African retailers have actually grown earnings over this period. And as a result, the earnings base is not low, and we would be loath to put a very high rating on what we see to be a high level of earnings. To sum up, we think that valuation is still certainly on your side, but one needs to be cautious. The real economy is still struggling. While a lot of indicators are certainly turning positive, one needs to bear in mind that if you're looking at a 12-month indicator, it is going to look positive by the fact that 12 months ago, after the Lehman's crisis, the world certainly in terms of production came to a halt. The Japanese auto manufacturers stopped making motor vehicles, they stopped ordering resources, and as a result, any measure of economic activity that you compare on 12 months is going to look positive just because the base is so low. You need to focus on month-on-month, and that certainly still shows that times are very tough, and as a result, you want to be focusing on quality businesses with strong balance sheets and very good cash flow generation.